Grace and peace. Welcome back to another week of Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole. I am so excited that you are here with me today. And this is that time where we normally say, it's that time of the year. Usually they're talking about Christmas, but no, not me. I'm talking about that tax season time. For some individuals, it's an exciting time where they'll get some extra resources because they're looking for the great refund. For others, if you're like me, you dread this time of the year because you're not really sure how much of your flesh Uncle Sam is going to take. And so as we do every year, I want to at least deal with all things taxes. But this year, I'm not riding solo. I'm not going to do this all by myself. This year, I went and got someone who is absolutely amazing, a phenomenal CPA coming up in the ranks. And when I say coming up in the ranks, I mean, she's younger than me, and I'm just looking at how fantabulous things are going on. Miss Alnisha Jones is a CPA and an MBA, and she is the founder of ACE Group, which is a full service accounting, tax, and advisory firm. And she focuses on something comparable to what I focus on, which is small business owners to do what? To build strong and sustainable businesses. So I want to introduce all of you to Alnisha, and we're going to have a conversation that I believe is going to be very fruitful for each and every one of you. Now, I've inquired of some things that are big, I'm big on people's minds already, but I want Alnisha, first of all, you've taken time out. So I want to say hello, and how crazy are you at this time of the year already?
Hi, and thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. This is a great break from taxes. Believe it or not, we're not as crazy as we've been in the last 3 years, which is a blessing, but it's also a little odd, right? We know tax season to be super crazy, and things just seem to be calmer than normal.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because there was a great level of angst from COVID moving forward. And one of the things that I really wanted to delve into, this is what I saw last year, and it was extraordinarily problematic for me, that many companies were not withholding taxes from their employees. And so when employees who had been typically getting these large checks, you know, these major refunds, they found themselves owing. And it was like, how did this happen? Because it was devastating and tax refunds are smaller. So that's a question that I had, and I had to send a lot of people back. So set yourself up for next year. But is there anything behind that great mystery?
So I think what that might have been was the change in the W-4 form. The W-4 form is the withholding form. I'm in New Jersey, and in New Jersey, we have state income tax. So you complete typically a federal and a state W-4 form. The federal W-4 form changed in 2020. Yeah. And if you had been working at your employer, you know, longer than that, you've been there prior to 2020, you likely did not change your 2020 form. And if you did not change it, that kind of messed with the withholdings. I've also found that if you make over 100 grand, that W-4 form in and of itself is not enough. You need to make adjustments to that form to have additional tax come out. I think that form works really good if you are under the 100K threshold. Over the 100K, we typically see the withholdings falling short, and that messed people up. I think it was also the unemployment. We saw massive amounts of unemployment, unfortunately, in 2020 and 2021, and even in 2022, and unemployment is taxable at the federal level.
Yes. And I don't know why people don't understand that. And it's like, yes. Oh, wait a minute. And then when they go to get their refund the following year, and it's like, no, you did not report this from the previous year. And they sit back
exactly.
Like,
exactly. Yeah.
So I'm glad that you pointed that out. But you made an identification that I think is critical. And that is for people that make over $100,000. So one of the things that I really love about you and what it is that you do is that we both believe in entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial endeavors. I mean, you have a screws, so you understand it. From a tax perspective, when someone is utilizing or earning over $100,000, how beneficial is it for them to consider monetizing their natural gift, their natural talent, you know, and sort of creating their own business? Because sometimes I sound like a broken record, like this will help you if you're getting that W-2 income, this will help you to reduce your tax liability. And it's the greatest conduit to wealth accumulation. How do you help help individuals? And what do you say to them? Like, girl, you need a baby, a business, or a house. That's what I tell them, okay?
I feel like I'm in like sort of an unpopular space here, but I'm going to explain to you why I feel that way. So I always tell people, I form businesses to earn profit. Profitable businesses are going to pay tax. But what we usually see is that in the beginning of forming a business, you likely take some losses, right? You're building a foundation. You are researching things. There are expenses, and they often will exceed the income. If you have, and I'm talking federally, I'm not talking state yet, but let's say you have $100,000 in wage income, W-2 income, and you have a business loss, a $25,000 business loss, federally, these two net together. So instead of you paying tax on $100,000, you're paying tax on $75,000. So your business loss reduced your wage income, which has lowered your tax bill. Now I say that's federal because on the state side, New Jersey says, I'm so sorry your business has a loss. You need to hold that loss until you start making money. And then you can use those losses to reduce your income. But if you are in a place where you are earning more than you're spending, you are literally going to see a shift in your tax bracket because that income gets added together. And then you're also paying self-employment tax. What I will say is having a business works the way this current tax code is written, because in 2018, when this tax code shifted, it took away things that previous wage earners benefited from, like unreimbursed employee expenses or searching for a job. You could deduct those type of expenses, relocation expenses. Those things were all deductible as an employee. They are no longer deductible, right? You can't deduct if you had to work from home as an employee. If your employer did not reimburse you, you're just out of it. You have a business though, your home office is deductible. Use of your cell phone, deductible. Use of your home printer, deductible, right? All these things are now business expenses. You don't have access to those things as an employee. So there's like this whole other world to those who have home-based businesses, businesses they operate perhaps primarily from home. The tax code is written to support those people.
And so you're speaking my language because that's exactly what I say. Uncle Sam says, as long as it's reasonable and customary in your ordinary course of business. And so yeah. We try to break it down and let them know that it really has to be in alignment with what would the average person in your business, in your industry, what would they do under this circumstances? And that's really how you can use that as a gauge mechanism as to whether or not this is a tax expense or a tax deduction. You know, and I appreciate that because the one thing that we have to identify, right, is that you are going into business to make money. Let's be clear. Who wants to have a business that you can't make money? But the advantage is some of the things that you've identified that we want people to understand. The things that you typically would do and some expenses, just going and honing in on that home-based business, you got to pay mortgage anyway. So whatever that exclusive area is in your home now becomes a business expense. And I just think that that's a beautiful tax system that we oftentimes do not take advantage of it. And so in this period of time, is there any point where you advise individuals that maybe you ought to consider this hobby formulating something more precise? Because that's what you do. You look at people to build strong and sustainable businesses. At what point does someone take the leap of faith to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do this thing for myself?
Oh, gosh, that's such a difficult question because I feel like it's so individual, right? What we saw in 2020 was unprecedented. We saw record-breaking numbers of people starting businesses because I think we finally had time to think and hone in on what we could be capable of and explore some other options. What I typically start with in talking to potential clients is, do you want to be a business owner, right? Let's start there first. And then if they say yes, then I have great, great things for you. But I never want people to feel like you're less than if you're not, right? It's okay to not be. But if you decide you want to be over here and you want to be an entrepreneur, I'm really excited for you. I ask them, have you explored past your passion if this could be profitable? Because there are some things that we love that may not turn into profit. And I think it's wonderful when our passion can meet profit, But if our passion won't necessarily meet profit, then maybe we explore some of our other passions, some of our other gifts to see where we could land, right? I love, right, to travel. I'm not going to be a travel agent. I'm just not. That's not where I'm going to earn profit. I love talking to people about building businesses. I love making accounting concepts easier. That's something that I can transform into profit very easily. It's not going to be in my best interest to be someone else's travel agent. So I like to have people kind of explore what are you good at, and then how can we transition that into something that someone wants to pay you for? And don't worry about what everyone else is doing, because you're different, right? I don't care if there are 100 accountants.
That, there you go. And that's the one thing. So just translating for our audience, because you guys, I'm so glad that Alnisha is reiterating things that you've heard already. I asked the question, can this be monetized? Meaning, can you make some money out of this? And so therein lies the language of individuals that are advocating whether or not this business venture is for you. Now, I do want to go into the aspect of there are people that are excited about following their taxes. And then there are people like me that wait until the end of like April 3rd, 4th, 5th, 15th, yep. You know, if there's an extension to be had, I'm going for it or whatever. And so I would love for you to just break down, you know, why that mentality is where people will gravitate to filing early, to those individuals that wait until the absolute last moment to file.
I love this conversation because I have such a good solution for it. I feel like after so many years, I understand what happens here. So the people that come in early, they're really excited, usually because they're going to get a refund. And when you know you have money due to you, why would you wait, right? Give me my money right now. People tend to wait, and I'm an accountant. I'm my own accountant. And I think just before last year, I typically file on like October 11th, right?
So you file an extension,
right? I put everybody else first, and I file my taxes super late. Now, I will say that I've at least paid the tax bill, but I'm not excited. There's no money to get back, right? So what's the rush there, right? But I find that people who wait are typically nervous because they don't know if they owe or they're getting money back. There's some uncertainty there that makes tax filing kind of like a place for anxiety, right? Because they just don't know what to expect. What we've done is have this year-round relationship with clients so that we can be talking to them and analyzing their taxes and helping them pay the tax up front, right? All tax will not go away. If there's been money made, there is a tax liability. The goal is to get the client to the point where the tax is being paid throughout the year so that when they file, they're not getting this big surprise. Right. I find that if we work with the client year-round, they know exactly what to expect. They've either paid it or they know what to expect, right? Some clients say, I don't want to pay in advance. I'll take whatever interest and potential penalty there might be, but I just want to know what I'm going to owe. And I find that if people know my tax bill is going to be $500, $5,000, $50,000, right? The knowing part takes away that anxiety and now they can file. But when there's no money to get back, nobody's excited to file. So I mean,
right. So it's very interesting because I have this mindset, right? I'm so glad to have this geeky conversation with you and make it so but the mindset, like when people are getting a refund, I don't think they really understand that it is money that you overpaid or you may have flow through tax credits or benefits that's coming to you. So there's a level of excitement there. It's like Uncle Sam owes me some money, but understand this, you would and should benefit from those resources throughout the year if you work with somebody like Alnisha to manage that out, because we're in $300 a month, i.e. a $3,600 refund, wouldn't that change the course of your life throughout the year? But now at the same time, I've been a business owner, since 2007. So I understand the anxiety that you're talking about, but just working with a tax practitioner is very helpful in the fact that there's a period of time in which you pay your quarterly estimated taxes, unless you get to the place like me where they say, y'all run me my money every month. And then it's like, oh, no, sorry, overall. But there are levels, because it does talk about where it is that you're standing financially in our our goal is what? It is to be ultimately financially free. And so if we're working towards financial freedom, if you have that level of knowledge, then Alnisha, there's some other things that people can do in terms of saving for retirement and as business owners, do the other ancillary things that increase that, you know, that net worth of an individual. So please talk about individuals and how they can do a reduction of their tax liability by saving for themselves. Now, I will tell you, I tell people, listen, if I give you a way or show you how you can take money out of your left hand and put it into your right hand, but the catch is you can't touch it out of your right hand until you're 59 and a half. See, I helped them out a little bit, right? So you can't touch it until you're 59 and a half, but it can grow and it can accumulate and do those things. And in the current year, it will reduce your tax liability. Now, that's my way of having conversation, but would you please explain to them, you know, as a CPA, the benefit of saving for your retirement, the benefit in the current year from a tax perspective, and then the wealth accumulation year over a period of time?
Yes. So first, I recognize that this is your area, so I appreciate you allowing me to speak like this much on it, because you're definitely the expert here. But I love this conversation for a number of reasons. One, because I'm not a big believer in huge refunds when you're not eligible for government credits, right? So if you are receiving earned income credit, I'm all for it, right? Get your money. But for taxpayers who aren't eligible for any credits or are eligible for like basic credits, child tax credit, perhaps dependent care credit, I don't want to see you get a $6,000 refund. I don't feel proud of myself for you getting a $6,000 refund, because I feel like I did you a disservice. You didn't earn interest on that $6,000, right? So you loaned that money to the government all year. I would have much rather have seen you have the $500 a month, which is $250 biweekly, which is $125 a week, right? You could do something with that beyond that, right? So thank you for bringing that up. Beyond that, saving for retirement is one of those things that we think we have so much time for. And we get so busy with life and buying houses and having children and getting married and just living, right? That we forget tomorrow will come. And before you know it, you'll be entering your 50s. And the game of retirement is a time game, right? It's not just for the wealthy. It's a game for whoever uses their time most wisely, right? So the best thing you could do is put aside, right? Even if you're not using your IRA to your max capacity, I always tell clients, at bare minimum, put in your 401k what your employer will match. At bare minimum, do not leave their money on the table. I'd love to see you increase it 1-2% per year. Never leave their money on the table. That's one. Two, what I love about an IRA, and there's traditional and Roth, but because traditional has pre-tax benefits, you contribute on a pre-tax basis, there are tax benefits for that, assuming your income is below a certain threshold, and you can contribute to that IRA, get the tax benefit, and then this money is going to grow for you to access later, right? So, and then when you retire, you're typically in a lower tax bracket, so you're paying less tax on this money, right? The Roth IRA, you're going to contribute to post-tax, but you could take that money out. As long as it's the money you put in, you could take that out tax-free, right? You can't take your earnings out before 59 and a half, but you can take out what you contributed. So it's like the best kind of savings account, because you could kind of access it, but not all of it. And then the IRA, you can contribute to even now for 2022, because you need to contribute before the filing date. So that's something you could even do now if you do a big refund. Consider, you know, perhaps contributing to your IRA instead of constantly using your refund for, you know, something that you'll spend today and will be gone a month or 6 months from now. Get into a rhythm where you are saving for your retirement. It will be here before we all know it. And God knows how long Social Security will be around for us.
I'm going to say one added measure. For some reason, that we do understand that it is emotional for individuals to get that level of money back. And so in addition to what Alnisha said, I do want to encourage you, this is a perfect opportunity to pay for an annual life insurance premium as well. So if you want to have protection for your family and you want this big refund check, then at least utilize it in a different course. And so that allows us, and we do this, what allows us to take your emotional capacity and your emotional, emotional feelings into consideration as you look to accumulate wealth overall. Now, there's something I do want to address, and I know this may sound off kilter, but 2020 and COVID really brought this on, where we found that we can work from home, right?
Yeah.
And many companies started the hybrid model or originally remote models, right? And so families began to move out of the state or away from where it is. Now, I'm finding this with larger income clientele, upper middle management and things of that nature, but it was presented. And I was like, well, I'm going to have to ask Alicia her opinion, because now families have purchased property someplace else. It's their primary residence someplace else, but they may have had property in a secondary location. One spouse is in one state, the other spouse primary is in a secondary state, but they filed together. And so this happening. The first time that I saw it, I didn't see it in 2020, but I began to see it in 2021. So I surmise that it will transpire in 2022. What level of advice or guidance, like which family or which state do you pick as the dominant state, and what are you losing in the process? Because I think that is the level of anxiety that people are having. Well, I might lose something. I don't know what to do. And I just don't think, and this is me, you're the CPA, so you can help me out even in this. I don't think married filing separately is ideal for everybody. As a matter of fact, I think people need to understand the penalty that's associated with it and approach that very critically and independently as a family, as opposed to broad-based information. But because I'm seeing that come up, I'm curious as to what the CPA would say.
Yeah. So the first thing I'd say is consult with your CPA or your tax practitioner. And because I'm a CPA, I say CPA often. Enrolled agents are pretty much as good as a CPA gets. We're equal in the face of the IRS. So a CPA or an enrolled agent, I'm very big on credential tax experts, because there are a lot of not so good people there. So a CPA or an EA is definitely going to be your best guide through this, because we are in unprecedented times, right? I don't think we've ever seen this much movement, at least not in the time that my career has been in accounting, and I've only ever been an accountant. You want to consult with the CPA, because we're seeing a lot of movement to states where there may be no state income tax, like Texas. We're seeing so much movement there, so much movement to the Carolinas, just a lot going on. And because you and your spouse may be in different states, and like you mentioned, married filing separate is typically the least advantageous filing status. When I say that, I'm talking strictly financially. There could be other reasons you may choose to file separate, but financially you tend to pay more tax if you file separate versus filing joint. There is a way to file joint if you and your spouse perhaps lives in separate states. It will depend on the number of days in which you reside in these states. You will likely need to file in several different states, because your work location is where you physically perform the work, while your home location may be elsewhere. You may be a part year resident. So there are a lot of tricky things going on there. The best advice I can give to you is to consult with an accountant, consult with your professional, so that they can best guide you through this. The IRS is geared up for a ton of audits. I imagine states are doing the same, because they are anticipating lots of errors to be made because of all the movement.
And that's very interesting. Like I said, it was something that I saw, and I'm like, this is very interesting for, this is a dynamic that was unprecedented as a result of COVID. I will ask you this, because you're boots on the ground, just even in our final aspect of this conversation, is there anything else that you would tell people to beware of? You know that there are a lot of individuals that attempt to do this on their own. They get overwhelmed. They become anxious in doing it. They may not feel as if, well, let me go here first. Many people feel like they can't afford a CPA. I'm with you. Credentialing matters. So I'm like,
yes.
Call Alicia, call Ace Group. You know, it's located in West Orange, New Jersey. You know, I'm like, listen, because we oftentimes, as professionals, people don't understand, we find our own income, but I don't think people understand that, right? I'm gonna find my salary in my services to you. Just trust my expertise. But there are people that will branch out, try to do it on their own. And so what's the advice that Anisha, you would give to someone in that regard as we tackle this 2022 tax season?
Yep. Start early. I know we just did the countdown. I think we have like 50 days before the initial filing deadline. So try not to wait until late March or April. Start early. I know people think that professionals are expensive, but mistakes are more expensive. And if you mess this up and then have to get some help afterwards, that could cost more because most people don't like to clean up messes they haven't made. But if they do, I promise you it's pretty costly. So I like for people to build that into their budget. I don't fix my own car because I'm not a mechanic. There's no YouTube video I could watch to teach me how to change my oil. I'm just not interested in messing that up, right? So I know what I need a professional for and what I could do on my own. And if your tax matters have become complex, get the help that you need from a professional. They may not always be complex. Perhaps next year they'll be simple again. But if you find that it is overwhelming to you, absolutely reach out for help. Don't go at it alone. Don't wait until it's too late. So don't wait until April and expect there to be an accountant to assist you. Accountants get very busy. Accountants have experienced burnout. So you definitely don't want to wait until the last minute. And this is something you should do throughout the year, but get into a rhythm of saving your documents electronically on some sort of drive and some sort of cloud. You just don't want to be ill-prepared. What I found over these past couple of years is that so much has happened that we start to mix up. Did that happen in 2021 or 2022 or 2023? People refinance. They don't remember what year they refinanced. So just keep a good gather around your documents, around your life situations that are happening. And if you work with multiple professionals, connect them, right? So I have people who are like, oh yeah, I work with, you know, I have a financial professional who helps me with my investments and I have an accountant. And I'm like, well, why aren't you introducing us?
Right?
Because you're talking to them and our matters cross so much. So your professionals are your team. Make sure these people are connected because you often discuss goals and future matters with these finance professionals that you may not bring to your accountant, and you should. But if you connect them, they can really support you best.
Anisha, I got to tell you how much of a pleasure this was, this conversation.
Thank you.
All of the things that you have shared with our audience. I do want to let people know that you are, you know, top 40 under 40 professional, and that you've gotten awards for your work, for your DE&I efforts. And this is all Women History, Black Girl Magic going on right now.
Yes, yes.
If someone wanted to communicate with you, how would they be able to connect with you? Because clearly you know what it is that you're doing. Finally, I do want to say you have a 100% female team that you are advising. So you are not only the boss, you're the boss lady over all other as well. And so ACE Group is what's going on. Please let people know how they might be able to connect with you.
Yes. So you can reach us online. You can access our website, www.a, like Ava, S like Savannah, E like Elisha. My business is named after my children. ASEgroupoffices.com. You can email us at hello@ASEgroupoffices.com, or you can call our office at 973-731-6000.
Listen, Anisha, this has been a pleasure. For those of you that are tuning in, tax season doesn't have to be overwhelming. I know.
No.
It doesn't have to be, but we're so grateful that when we can get professionals and experienced individuals to come and guide you. So next week, or the next time we gather together on Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole, we're going to have someone else that will help you to dream big dreams and to fulfill the goals and the purposes that you have for your life. As always, it is a pleasure and a privilege that you've allowed me to serve you. I will see you next time on Dare to Dream with Dr. Nicole.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Next Financial Group Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.